Blog Talk Radio.
Without you, where would I go to let it all out? Where would I be? Without you. Of love go. Where did you find someone new? And what do I do without you?
How would we go without you? Not any of us, but without the Lord of all the worlds being with us in this hour. Greetings and welcome to the Elevated Places program. My name is Brother Jamil Muhammad. I'm going to be your host tonight by Allah's permission, and I am excited about this opportunity to keep alive and push forward the program format and informational spirit originated by our dear sister and now precious ancestor, Dr. Ava Muhammad. We look forward tonight on the Elevated Places to hearing from you, wherever you are. In fact, we'll make priority for those who are calling for the first time, because we want to hear from you wherever you are on this big old planet of ours. We want to discuss a topic that is hot as Texas fish grease. And that topic is separation, the only solution. Why do you say the topic is hot, Brother Jamil? It's because every time you turn on the news today, you're hearing what seems like a queue line of witnesses to the facts and truth of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The enemies are talking in their news broadcasts about shooting down objects that they don't know what they are in the sky. There's train derailments dumping chemical sludge and liquid death exploding into fireballs in the sky through the industrial northeast of Ohio. There are grand juries looking into corruption in the highest offices of political attainment. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that politics, poly meaning many, ticks meaning blood suckers of the poor, they rob and fleece the masses. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to watch the weather. His national representative, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, told us to watch the weather. And so now all over the South, tornadoes ripping buildings apart, hurling people hundreds of yards to their tragic deaths. Snow in the North, tornadoes in the South, drought in the West, flash flooding in the East. The fall of America is underway. And so tonight we will endeavor to address the subject, separation the only solution. So we begin before everything else starts to unfold. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. As students of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we are grateful to him for teaching us this message of life-saving urgency and for his representation of the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as his national representative. We love and thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So our mics are open. We're ready to begin. I have some very special colleagues on the line with me tonight. Starting us off at the time of the program where we are right now, our sister, national correspondent for the Final Call News with the news roundup from Los Angeles. She's back with us again tonight and in rare form. I have an opportunity to introduce to some and to present to others my sister and yours, Sister Charlene Muhammad. Sister Charlene, go right ahead.
All praise is due to Allah. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I too bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil, and to the Elevated Places audience. How are you, Brother Jamil?
Oh, you have
go
to
right
open
ahead,
the
sister.
Mic. You have to open the mic. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Can you hear me now?
Hear you loud and clear.
Wonderful. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the servant and messenger. Assalamu alaikum and happy Savior's Day, Brother Jamil, and to the Elevated Places audience. How are you doing, sir?
I feel great, sister.
Fine,
I'm telling you, and we have a very special guest tonight, what they call in the system of jurisprudence an expert witness, and he'll be with us. He's chomping at the bit, ready to go. And I'm telling you
that's
tonight,
right,
sister, yes, indeed, we are in a different spirit tonight because each
that's
week
right.
successively, you know, we don't make a conclusive case with a coup de grace on any one program. But we're willing to bear witness, and tonight we have a sneaking suspicion that the news you bring to us will confirm for us our decision to be with Farrakhan. What's happening in the headlines?
Thank you very much. And if I can, I did hear Dr. Ridgely, pardon me, I sound like a Dr. Ridgely. So in the news this week, coming right out of the cover story for the current Final Call newspaper, Savior's Day 2023, also the student article that Master Father Muhammad is the supreme being. Out of the cover story, the Nation of Islam is embarking to a three-day national convention. We'll be back in Chicago February 24th through the 26th as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is set to deliver a major and vital message to the world. His topic or the theme, the War of Armageddon, has begun. That's this February. Just coming out of that faith foundation and fortifying belief from the cover story, excitement and anticipation, just a bit about Savior's Day. It is a commemoration of the birth anniversary of Master Father Muhammad, Allah God in person, born on February 26, 1877 in the holy city of Mecca. Master Father Muhammad traveled 9,000 miles to North America, where he found the downtrodden black man and woman. He raised and taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who convened the first Savior's Day convention. The tradition of Savior's Day has been carried on through the work of Minister Farrakhan. Going further into the Final Call, leading off the national section, peeling off the mask of civility, white extremists foiled terrorist attack in Baltimore, a sign of the time. Sister Misa Islam Muhammad gives us the news and information about that. Also coming out of Los Angeles, I have a story. Outrage continues over the police shooting of a double amputee. This brother was armed with a knife. When I say armed with a knife, well, he had a knife. He was wheelchair bound. He is alleged to have stabbed someone. and police were called to the scene. The parents said that he actually had some depression going on that day. According to the mother, the police said let him go and just cool off or go out. And nonetheless, the brother was shot approximately 10 times. Family said it was in the back. So as he was hobbling away, the next story, State of the Union address, the U.S. President Joe Biden says the nation will recover stronger, but will the plight of the masses matter? This is a story out of Brother William P. Muhammad. And then I want to go into the special section as I round out in the news with special section COVID-19 and the U.S. policy of depopulation. We have an interview by the Nation of Islam Research Group members, Dr. Richley Mu'min Muhammad and Brother Sultan Muhammad. They interviewed Dr. Saeed Haider. He is an ivermectin healer. And so there's more information about the quote-unquote miracle drugs and also how that has been hidden and why. And so this is going to round it out. The depopulation brief is chock full of experts, scientists, doctors who are talking about exactly what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan warned of when he said, do not take these vaccines, do not take their vaccines. And it leads out with Dr. Pierre Corey, who actually has been a major advocate for and just broke wide open the benefits of ivermectin and really has been going hard for it. So that's in the news, and thank you so much. I look forward to the dialogue tonight. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Both informed and inspired by your reporting to us of those headlines. Stick around with us, Sister Charlene. It's going to be an explosive night, and I'm going to get right into it by the prerogative of the chair and bring to you tonight's very special, we could call him a guest, but he is one of the constant and steadfast defenders of Islam in the wilderness of North America, the Nation of Islam. He is a defender of our people. He is a productive producer, and I know that sounds redundant, but that's how strong he is with his production. He's a productive producer on the farm of the Nation of Islam, Muhammad Farms. He is the director of the Muhammad Farms system, an academician, well-trained in the academy, a professor, emeritus at North Carolina A&T State University in Greensboro, and now operating from Muhammad Farms headquarters in Southwest Georgia. He is our brother, my friend, Brother Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Dr. Ridgely, are you there at the microphone?
Yes, sir. Thank
welcome
you.
Welcome once
brother.
Again. Welcome, my beloved.
Yes, sir. I say wa alaikum salam to you and to all the listeners. And in the name of Allah, came to us in a person. That person's name is Master Farad Muhammad. And the one who understood who Master Farad Muhammad is, that's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the one who loved them both and brought forth again to us the Nation of Islam, our brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you again, and I salam alaikum. Now,
brother, Dr. Ridgely, do you have an opening statement? Because I want you to have that time to do that, because there's so many questions already piling up on my desk. I want to get right into them.
You're right. I just wanted the one thing I wanted to read. Is what inspired the presentation that I did this past Sunday on that separation. I'll read that, and then you can ask me whatever questions you would like after that, okay? This is from what the Muslims want. This is number five, point number five. You find it on the inside back cover of the Final Call newspaper. It is on the back cover of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper. It says, we want freedom for all believers of Islam now held in federal prisons. We want freedom for all black men and women now under death sentence in innumerable prisons in the North as well as the South. We want every black man and woman to have the freedom to accept or reject being separated from the slave master's children and establish a land of their own. We know that the above plan for the solution of the black and white conflict is the best and only answer to the problem between two people. So that is
yes.
the inspiration for the lecture. So now, Brother Jamil.
I want to thank all of those who, having heard that you would be with us tonight, submitted some questions in writing and from all over the nation, and I wanted to get to as many of them as possible. I'll start with just a word of thanks to you. The message that you gave at the mosque in Albany, Georgia, very inspiring, and you started with something that I thought it caught my ear, and you repeated it a few minutes later in the lecture, and I wanted to ask you about this process and how we're seeing it unfold today. You said that Satans make devils, and devils make slaves, and the way that devils make slaves is by robbing us of our confidence in ourselves. That resonated with me. Tell me about that particular train of thought and how you see it playing out in American public life today.
Yes. Well, there's two major parts to that. And the part about how devils make slaves is that they destroy our confidence. And when we came up out of slavery, the reason I know we had confidence is that between 1865 and 1910, in 45-year period, we came up out of slavery owning nothing, not even ourselves. We were not given 40 acres and a mule. We were not given money to buy land. We were not even loaned money from the bank to buy land, but we bought land with our own sweat and blood, 16 million acres. And so I've been busy trying to figure out how did a completely poor people who had nothing in the hells of North America, enemies all around, 16 million acres of land. So that began my process of really studying. These people were not broken. But what they did immediately after they let us free, this is one of the points we make in the presentation. Many people have heard of the Freedmen's Bureau. And many people think that the Freedmen's Bank that was set up in 1865. And many people believe that it was black people who set the bank up, who ran the bank, and who inevitably in 1874 lost 40% of the wealth of black people. $2 million was lost from that bank failure. And the
now
president
you say
of the bank at that time.
You said lost? Was it lost? Was it misappropriated? Was there a combination of the two?
Okay. The president was Frederick Douglass. But he was brought in 1874. But the bank was set up by a man named Henry Cook and his brother out of New York. They set it up, listen to this now, they set it up April of 1865. But the Civil War did not end until June of 1865. So they set up the Freedmen's Bank before the war was over. And time the war was over, they went out to the Union, the black Union soldiers who had never received a paycheck before, but they received a paycheck as promised to them if they would fight for the Union Army. Well, they gave them the paycheck, and then they set up this Freedmen's Bank and asked them to deposit their money in this safe banking system backed by the U.S. government. Little did we know that it was not backed by the government, and it was under the complete control of this guy named Henry Cook, owned by blacks. As a matter of fact, if you put in a Freedmen's Bank and go to a Google search and put in images, well, they'll show you an image of a person in blackface, white teeth, red lips, sitting behind a desk in Freedmen's Bank with a hole in the top of the desk for people to put their money in. And you can get this now on eBay. Okay, a caricature of we did not know anything about banking, and we should not have been in banking, and then we lost the money. Okay, but in actuality, it was Henry Cook and his brother who were investing the black people's money in their own railroad schemes and other business schemes in the expansion towards the west of America. They used the black people's money. They never gave black people a loan.
Wow.
Never, not one loan did they give, but the black people put their money in, and then they took their own money out when they had enough in to buy land. But when it failed, there was $60 million in there that they thought was in there that was not in there because it had all been used up by the Cook family, a white family out of New York, who were investors. And
now
to this day, they're saying there was Frederick Douglass and other blacks who lost black folks' money. Therefore, you people do not know anything about business. You do not know anything about money. You do not know anything about finance. So you might as well accept your second-class citizenship and continue to work for us because you don't know how to do anything. And that is how you destroy somebody's confidence even till today, and it's all a big, fat lie. Go ahead.
A big, fat lie. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, you're hearing the voice of Brother Dr. Ridgely Mukmin Muhammad, who is a member, a valued member, of the research team of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. He is also the director of the Muhammad Foreign System, with properties in different states and localities producing different crops, and we'll talk more about that whenever the opportunity arises. But right now, Dr. Ridgely, you're saying to us that we are actually witnessing a stripping of our confidence that began 150 or more years ago. Is that still happening in the society?
Yes, it is. It happens, bringing all the way up to date to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he's setting up the power program. And our brother Gaddafi loaned him millions of dollars that he put in the black bank. And then the Jews went to the black banker and told him, give Farrakhan back his money. You can't hold that money because he's an anti-Semite. Okay? And so you say, well, how come we don't do what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did when he was here? Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad got away with doing that, but they're not going to let us get away with that now. They thought they killed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And when Mr. Farrakhan jumped back up and put it back up, they said, no, never again. We're going to nip you in the bud at every turn. So when you see the things that you think that the Nation of Islam should have and be successful with, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes from the government to the ADL to the banking system to all different types of ways by which they cripple whatever we do. I'll give you another example.
Yes.
And the segregation, where we had our little black town. You know about Tulsa, Oklahoma, where there was a Durham, North Carolina. There was a Wilmington, North Carolina. There was a Bowles, Ohio. There was all over the country that we had our little enclaves. I was born in a black hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I went back and forth across town in the Safe Bus Company owned by a black person in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I didn't know what was on the white side of town. Didn't care what was on the white side of town. But then they came and got me out to integrate me to a prep school in New Hampshire. The way they took many of us out of the ghetto, gave us scholarships so that we could go to white schools. And then when we got into the white schools, a friend of mine who stayed in Winston-Salem, he didn't go up north, he said, when they integrated the school, Reynolds High School, big white school, there's a few black folks to integrate. Everything was cool the first year. The second year, things got a little testy. By the third year, the white teachers just sit down and say, if I got to teach these niggas, I ain't teaching nobody.
Man.
Okay? So these are things that I have lived through to see, not just hearsay, but lived through. But what we have done now, our job, when Donald B. Elijah Muhammad says something, when Mr. Farrakhan says something, we look into what they say and see what we can find to make this world bear witness to what you just heard. Many times when Mr. Farrakhan gives you this information, you say, well, where do you get that from? Well, what we try to do is go and find the things that bear witness of what he said, because sometimes he gets direct instructions from the man on the wheel who sees and knows what others don't. But he gives it to the minister, and he gives it to us, but then we go and research to find out and to bear witness. We found evidence of what the minister said. So if you, when you say something, act upon that. So this is what we go over and over again. then we go to our lessons. And there's so many things we have in our lessons that it don't make no sense because you ain't never heard it before. And so what do they mean by that? Like, who is the original man? The original man, the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the creator of the planet Earth, God of the universe. Well, now all the scientists come forth to say, well, indeed, the black man is the original man. And who's the colored man?
Yes.
The colored man is the creator, the white man, the Yakub's grass, the devil, the scum of the planet Earth. We say that and say, oh, Yakub, that is all a mythology of white folks. Called us in the cave 45,000 years ago in the cold, and they turned white. Now the old scientists say, we bet, and we can show you this in our Final Call newspaper that we've quoted from the different scientists, including the great magazine, scientific magazine, that now the white man's own DNA scientists have proven that the mutation that produced white folks 100 years ago when we get started. So everything that we are taught in the Nation of Islam, now this world is bearing witness to it, and we in the research team, we just go and find these pieces and morsels just to shore up the believer, to give the believer strength in what they believe to show that we can bear witness and back up what we believe in any venue. That's why Mr. Farrakhan is asking for the so-called Jews who call us anti-Semite, call him an anti-Semite. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a meeting in public, and let's discuss your point of view and our point of view and give the judges, the people, a chance to see who got it right. But if they ask us to do yet, no. They don't want to do that because we got what's called the receipts. So I hope I've answered some of your questions, my brother, on that.
Yes, sir. I told you that Brother Dr. Ridgely is ready tonight. You can hear it in his voice. It reminds me, Dr. Ridgely, of how Muhammad Ali would hear the opening bell, rush out of his corner to the center of the ring and begin flurrying on some poor, hapless opponent. That's how you sound to me tonight, brother. You're about to do the Ridgely Shuffle and do some things. Listen, everybody, you can become a part of tonight's discussion. It's easy. You can talk with Dr. Ridgely tonight in real time, live on the Elevated Places program. All you need to do is go to your phone and dial the following number. You ready? It's 563-999-3065. Then press the number one key upon the queue. When you're prompted, press number one, and you'll be entered into the guest queue, and our producers will get you into the discussion, time permitting. Tonight's guest again, Dr. Ridgely Mufni Muhammad from the Minister's Research Team, from Muhammad's Farms, from the rostrum of the Ministry of the Nation of Islam, and really from all of our hearts as our brother. We're very grateful that you're here with us tonight, brother. I'm going to skip around a little bit more. We have another question in the studio. This one originates in, I can't pronounce the name of the city in Texas, but this is what we're being asked. You said something in your lecture last week about the Department of Defense guiding and leading the entire process of the so-called vaccinations, and that it was something called Operation Warp Speed. And I wanted to ask the question, the caller wanted to know what is the current status, or the writer of the question, I should say, wanted to know what is the current status of the Warp Speed operation. Is it still operational? Are there still plans to move it forward from the Department of Defense?
Yes, very, 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 very good question. One of the main parts by which the Department of Defense was able to get this stuff that they funded in the millions and billions of dollars, both Moderna and Pfizer. They are genetic therapies. Supposed to genetic therapies, but they are transformers of your gene. They paid for this. And then to get it past the regular channels by which you get a vaccine approved, they said an EUA. It's an emergency use authorization. Emergency use authorization, because they brought up that the head of human health and human services to declare a pandemic emergency, a pandemic emergency, knocking out all the other safety systems by which a vaccine is supposed to be checked out over the long term to make sure that it does less harm than good. But under the EUA, they were able to get rid of that. So that's how they were able to fast-track these gene therapies, call them in vaccines. As a matter of fact, Moderna and Pfizer have patented their mRNA technologies under gene therapy. They did not even patent it as a vaccine, because by definition, it is not a vaccine. It does not prevent infection. It does not prevent the spread. And as long as they can keep this EUA in process, this so-called pandemic, they can continue to produce other drugs under the mRNA technology and not have to go through FDA approval. So it's a fast track. Just recently, the president of Pfizer, Dr. Borla, at Davos, the World Economic Forum, said to a reporter, producing 19 new drugs in the next 18 months. Five of those would be vaccines over the next 18 months. And then the interviewer asked him, do you think that it will be approved by the FDA? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they'll all be approved. What does he know that nobody else knows? He knows that he is working for the government, and the government is going to allow whatever he produces with their aid to get through to their people, because the government of the United States has decided under their depopulation agenda to reduce the population of the planet Earth between 3 and 4 billion people, according to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, quoting from Kissinger's a plan of depopulation that they put into effect as law since 1975. So every president is working under this depopulation agenda set up by Kissinger to remove 3 to 4 billion people so that the white race could have access to the treasures beneath their soil. Many of you might not know that most of the cobalt in the world comes out of the Congo. You may not know that the lithium that's needed for the lithium batteries comes out of the mountains of the Andes. So for them to produce these cars, they got to strip down the Andes for the lithium and dig up the Congo for the cobalt so that you can drive around in these electric cars, which will be very dangerous because of the lithium that you're riding on top of. As a matter of fact, a truck driver told me that truckers are told, do not sit on the batteries. You know, sometimes they put the batteries beneath the seat for the truck so they have more room. They said, don't sit on those batteries. Don't put them batteries beneath that seat, because it eventually will give you cancer. So this is what you'll be riding on. But to get, they need to wipe out the people, because they don't want to pay the people. They don't want to pay the countries for the material. They want to pay a few people, pay them off, so they have access to the material. So this process that was started with the mRNA gene therapy platforms is continuing now at warp speed. So now they're able to bring on, he can tell you that in 18 months, I can bring on 19 drugs and five of them be vaccines in 18 months?
Wow.
It is still in effect.
Still in effect. You're listening to Dr. Rizli Mufmeen Muhammad, dear brothers and sisters. That begs the question, Dr. Rizli, in my mind, and this is not from the stack of email questions. This is just something in my mind. Can you help us to understand? You started out the program by quoting from the Muslim program, from What the Muslims Want, point number 5, which talks about separation and says that separation is the best and only answer to the problem between the two people. This seems to be incredulous to the average so-called American Negro. Many of our people blanch at that. They flinch at that. They recoil from the idea of separation. Yet every single day, the factual weight of what you're bringing forward and can't be disputed. So Pfizer, Moderna, the government, the liberal, I mean the mineral companies, stripping, you said stripping down the Andes and digging up the Congo. These people have done evil everywhere they have gone. Why is it so difficult for the average black person on the street to actually see the separation is the answer.
Okay. Let me help you out a little bit. Going back to the teachings, this is why I get killed when I think about the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and those things that you and I, brother, were first brought to our attention as we was in the processing class to join the Nation of Islam. And some things you just didn't understand, but now we do our research, we're able to put more meat on the bones and tie it to the present time. For instance, in our Supreme Wisdom, English lesson number C1, it says, "Can the devil fool a Muslim? Not nowadays. Do you mean to say that the devil fooled them 379 years ago?" Now, of course, this was written in 1930, so that's why it says 379 years ago.
Yes, sir.
The trader made an interpretation that they received gold for their labor more than they were earning in their own country. Then did they receive gold? No. The trader disappeared, and there was no one that could speak their language. Okay, stop right there. The slater disappeared. The trader disappeared, and there was no one that could speak their language. Well, how was he able to communicate with them about them receiving gold for their labor? How did he trick them? Now, let's go to something that we have recently discovered in the research team. There's an island off the coast of what's now Nigeria and Benin. The Portuguese, it's called Sao Tome. You can look it up, S-A-O, and make
sure
it's T-O-M.
Yes.
Sao Tome. The Portuguese in 1470 found an uninhabited island 120 miles off the coast of the Kingdom of the Congo. In the 1480s, the Portuguese began capturing slaves in the slave rivers of the Bight of Benin. They would bring them back to this island and breed them with white Jews until they had produced a mixed population of half-breeds that they sent to set up trading posts in Africa. So the trading posts were set up by half-breeds that were produced by raping our girls and then indoctrinating them to think that they were Portuguese. And then they brought the liquor, the guns, and the lies. This goes back to our teachings about what Yaqub taught his made devils to do when they went back amongst us. That is to tell lies, call them to fight and kill one another, then coming in as a peacekeeper and cutting the deal with them. So what they did the same thing again to us off the coast of Africa, where they went in spreading lies, calling the different tribes to fight and kill one another, and then to give one tribe some guns and say, okay, what we'll do is we'll take care of the slaves who you have captured, and we'll take care of them and give you money for them. And who were these? These were these half-breeds. Now, I'm not trying to say that we can't trust half-breeds. Side of the breed, they want to hold on to. Do they want to hold on to the black side, or do they want to hold on to the white side? So you got to check them out very carefully. So this idea of this traitor, so they captured these women. They produced a child that can speak both Portuguese and whatever tribe language that she had so that he can go back and represent that, well, I'm one of you. My mother was one of you. You know, I can't help that I look lighter, but that's not my mother's fault, not my fault, but I'm one of you. And look what I got for you. I got you some guns, fire water, and we can trade and do commerce, and I got a place that, you know, you can go make more gold for your labor, and you make it over here.
Mm.
You ain't got a slave, and you can come with us. And so this is how they tricked us, by using those from amongst us, and they always come and get some from amongst us to go along with them. And this is why I did this. I'm going to go right to this right quick. Just this past couple of January 24th of 2023, Howard University awarded $90 million contract by Air Force, the Department of Defense, to establish first university-affiliated research center led by HBCU, Historically Black College University. Now, the question is what will these students build, and will they ever be useful again to our community? Because they're going to work for the Department of Defense.
Yes, sir.
So here it is. Our babies are working to work for the Department of Defense, and now we know the one thing the Department of Defense have been building is bioweapons in the name of vaccines. So now we're going to feed them more of our intelligence because they had to integrate with us. Listen very carefully. They had in the 60s to integrate with us because we were using our own brain power for ourselves because we were segregated. And so we had to go to black colleges and then come out and work for the black community because they didn't want us in their jobs.
Right.
And then they realized that we were growing faster than they were. For instance, by 1863 to 1914, we put up 1,200 patents from 1863 to 1914. 1,200 patents.
We put up 1,200, say it again, Docs. We put up 1,200 what now?
1,200 patents for inventions. 1,200 patents for inventions between 1863 and 1914. One of these inventors, 1,200. One of these inventors was called Elijah McCoy, and he invented 52 himself, 52 patents on types of systems that work for trains, like lubricating systems. And he was so good that people say, I want the real McCoy. You ever heard that before?
Yes,
the
sir.
The real McCoy? Well, his name was Elijah McCoy, a black man, who was an inventor and a manufacturer, who he invented and manufactured parts for trains that they wanted to know, is this the real McCoy, because they did not want a knockoff. So we were using our talents, and we were growing our own community. Like I told you, I was going to black hospital. I used to ride on safe bus. So now they saw that no matter what they did to us, we were developing, and now they wanted some of that brain power. So what did they do?
Mm-hmm.
They brought me and others like me. In 1969, they brought me from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, to put up Exeter Academy, full scholarship. Then I went to Columbia University, full scholarship. And I was always supposed to stay with them. I would probably be a banker on Wall Street if I had not found the teeth of Honorable Elijah Muhammad while I was in prep school. My brother sent me a copy of the autobiography from Malcolm X. And in January of 1967, Dr. Ridley Crazy Mukmin Muhammad was born again after reading that book. And I've been a warrior, a fighter. And my mama said she wished I never went away to that school, so I came back crazy as hell. And I'm still like that today. And I told them crackers when I came downstairs after reading that book, I said, I know who you are. You are the devil. I will not work for you, and I will not work for your father. And all praise is due to Allah. I work for the black folks in the Nation of Islam on Muhammad's farm.
There it is. Dr. Reed, don't you apologize at all, sir. Don't apologize. Could a fire apologize for having flame? Could a ball of thunder apologize for its threatening clap? No, that's the way you're made. Keep on bringing it. The next question I want to go and throw all the way out to Los Angeles. Our national correspondent has a question for Dr. Risley. Sister Charlene, go ahead with your question, and I'll continue to go through these other ones from the email for the next portion. Sister Charlene?
Praise be. Thank you so much. Dr. Ritchie, thank you for what you're saying. You know, what do you think about this? You bring this to mind when you spoke about Howard and the Department of Defense and what they're getting ready to do there. Not long ago, it was August, I think in August, it was announced that new black medical schools were coming to HBCUs. And the schools cited were Morgan State University, that's Baltimore, Xavier University in New Orleans, and that they were planning to open new medical schools. But do you think that this is in line with or a part of what they're getting ready to do with this Department of Defense funding out of Howard that you mentioned?
Well, it's quiet as it's kept.
Mm.
We didn't find out this type of information until we start going back around. The Minister Farrakhan was allowed back in to speak at the HBCUs. And I was with him in 2013 when he went down to Tuskegee. And at a dinner talking with the president of Tuskegee, the president of Tuskegee was, I won't say bragging, but he was stating how much money that Tuskegee was getting in research grants from the Department of Defense. My alma mater, North Carolina A&T State University, I didn't find out 2 years ago that the very farms that I was in agriculture economics and we had a farm out there, and I felt that they was trying to do something to sell that farm off. So I got in big trouble over questioning what the direction the school was going to go into. Now, I did not know, this is 30-something years later, that I just found this out, that Bill Gates has a nanotechnology research institute on what was one time the farm for North Carolina A&T State University. And what are they doing? They're researching how to make synthetic skin.
Skin?
Synthetic skin. Synthetic.
I'm sorry. So sound like you said synthetic skin.
Skin.
Yes.
S-K-I-N.
I-N.
Synthetic skin.
Mm-hmm.
Synthetic meat. Synthetic fish. The farm for North Carolina A&T State University. So instead of producing, having to help farmers do a better job of growing food natural from the soil,
wow,
they are going to stand on the soil, sit on the soil with a building that is designing how to make synthetic food and even synthetic skin. Because they plan to make synthetic men. Okay? So this is the process that's been going on, and we just have not been paying attention. So what they put out for this $90 million is a wake-up call for now. We can go peel back, and you go back and go back to your university that you came out with, whether it was a black or white, go back and see what they're researching now. See what they're being funded from now. See what they're doing now. See what they're producing
right,
now.
Right.
They're producing some people who think they're God, and they have a right to transfer DNA of planet Earth to suit their purposes because they want to make the whole world in their image. And you know their image is crazy as hell. So they want to make hell for everybody else. They were made from us, and they live in hell because they're living in the weaker part of us with no balance with the better part. They just have the weaker part. In the black man and woman, we have both the black germ, which is the strong part, and the weaker germ, which is the brown germ. But the white race is made completely out of the brown germ, eliminating the black germ, so they are devoid of soul. That's why they cannot dance unless they have mixed back with us, like some of the Jews, and they got a little rhythm because they mixed back out the humanity back in them, so now they can actually respond to nature. Let me put it to you like this. The reason white folks can't dance, I got this from a comedian. The white folks can't dance because they listen to the words and not the music. Because to submit to the music would mean they'd be submitting to nature, submitting to God. They don't want to submit to nature. They want to submit to the word that they produce because that's how they control people, through manipulating the word. So the music is not as important to them as the word, because that's what they are able to do to trick the mind into doing the work for them. Because this is what they were promised by their father, Yaqub, 6,600 years ago, that if you follow me, I will make the others work for you. So these people left with him with the intent and desire to rule the rest of humanity. And now they're at apex of that. And now that the Savior has come, now that the truth has come, and when the truth has come, it begins the war of Armageddon, according to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So they know that God has come and will break the power of their lives over the people. So now they're not going to submit. Now they want to take everybody down with them. They know that their time is up, and that's going back to them UFOs that they say they shot down. I want you to listen very carefully.
Yes, sir.
I can't prove what I'm saying, but I want you to think, listen very carefully. All of a sudden, right before Savior's Day, and we know that in the plenary session, we're going to talk about the wheel. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about the wheel.
You're right.
So now what? Now what are they doing? All of a sudden, this balloon goes up. And it goes all across the country, a couple of days, and then they shoot it down over the ocean. Uh-huh, okay, right. And now these other unidentified flying objects are seen over Canada. And now they're saying that they shot them down. Okay. But they can't find the debris. Okay. It seemed that as we got closer to these things, they were able to mess with our sensors. Well, if they're able to mess with your sensor, how can you shoot it down? Okay. Just put this theory into your head. Just a theory. Suppose that the enemy is able to make a flying plane look like the wheel. June of 2021, they said that what they was tracking to move 5,000 miles per hour in one direction, and then without stopping, cut 90 degrees and go 5,000 miles per hour in the other direction without stopping.
Yeah.
Now you tell me how you going to shoot something like that down.
You're not.
So what they have done, in my opinion, possibility, made some fake baby wheels and shoot them down over unoccupied areas in Canada so nobody can get to the debris before they do to find out that it's fake. I'm just saying. But we do know this. Their pilots have said that the planes that they have tracked, even before this last couple of weeks, that number one, you get within 10 miles of them, your equipment messes up. You cannot track them. You cannot your gun. And then he's moving 5,000 miles an hour in one direction and did 9-degree cut without stopping. Now, I don't know about you all, but if you're driving in the car and you make a sharp turn to the left, for instance, and you're going at 60 miles an hour, if the car don't flip over, you'll wind up in the passenger seat. Am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Force of gravity is going to throw you to the other side. Now, that's 60 miles an hour. Now, you're going 5,000 miles an hour in one direction and then 9-degree turn without stopping at 5,000 miles an hour. There will be nothing but blood and guts up against the wall.
That's right.
Unless
the G-force operating the aircraft. That's right.
Whatever these things are, whoever is flying them, who controls them, has mastered a science above the science of this world when it comes to gravity. Because evidently it must carry its own gravity so that it cannot feel the result of the natural gravity that everybody else feels, because what? It can go in one direction and cut and not get splattered against the wall because somebody has figured out something, and that somebody is Master Farad Muhammad, and this is why I depend on him for my defense, and I want to separate from the enemy, let the enemy die on his own, and let us separate and build our own. And if the enemy comes at us like they did in Black Wall Street, instead of them having the aircraft, what they use, the military aircraft, to drop bombs on our neighborhood, destroying 600 businesses. So this time, instead of them having the aircraft, we got the aircraft to protect us from them. And so Mr. Farrakhan, in 1989, went up to D.C., you can kill me. But within 12 hours, your country would be destroyed. So they haven't tried to kill him yet. Because what? They know that these wheels exist. And now they're trying to do is to make you think they can shoot down these wheels, because we know that they exist, but now they're trying to make you think they can shoot them down. And I say, based on what they have said, they cannot shoot them down. So again,
that is correct.
This is warfare, and this is a bunch of lies. But I digress.
No, you never digress.
You're telling
the top of the hour. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It's 56 minutes past 1 hour, 4 minutes before the next. You are listening to the Elevated Places program here on Blog Talk Radio, established by our dear sister and now precious ancestor, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And in her spirit, we pray that Allah will bless us to continue to expose what has been hidden and to clarify what has been made muddled, to amplify what has been silenced, and to simplify that which has been made complicated. This is the Elevated Places program, and we're right here on your radio. At the top of the hour, we're going to go to some callers. We are not going to delay. We're going to get right into the calling queue. We know that you are backing up, and we ask you to exercise some patience, but please understand that we don't have a limited listening area. This is not a program with some small footprint over Texarkana or Toledo or Tupelo. No, this is all over the world. So we're going to have to ask you to please be patient, and we'll try our very best to get to you in the caller queue tonight. But we are joined by our guest, Dr. Ridgely Mukmin Muhammad, who is lighting flame after flame and illuminating the darkness of our minds, because if you didn't think about separation, you're thinking about it tonight. When Sister Charlene Muhammad, our national correspondent, asked the questions that she has asked of Dr. Ridgely about what these medical schools will be doing with all this newfound research money and medical research, and in the time of these Operation Warp Speed days in which we live, we looking at some shady activity. And I'm going to tell you something. Shady activity is not strange. When you go and look up the idea, and I want you to follow this now, false flag operations.
Go ahead.
Is what Dr. is talking about. False flags are sneaky political intelligence or military operations designed to shift blame. That's the definition of a false flag operation. They date back to the 16th century in European history, when pirates hoisted someone else's flag intending to confuse and blame their crimes on others. The war in Ukraine has brought the term back into the spotlight, but what does it mean in today's parlance? You have to remember that false flag operations have happened throughout American history, the sinking of the Lusitania, the Gulf of Tonkin invasion. All this is fake, and it's a fraud, and it's done by the people that you trust enough to take an injection in your arm with who knows what inside it. It's time to separate. I'm sorry, but I don't know of any point in history where you are freed from slavery and left in the slave quarters on the plantation with the master and told you're free, and that one day the master will make you his equal. It'll never happen, because it never has. Tonight you're listening to the Elevated Places. We thank Brother Darius Muhammad. We thank Sister Ava Muhammad's family. We thank the production team, and we are ready to go right to the phone callers, because the top of the hour is upon us. Let's go to the phones. I hear that Brother Darrell is with us tonight, and Brother Darrell, tell us where you're, once you get on the line, tell us where you're calling from and ask your question for Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Brother Darrell, go right ahead.
As-salamu alaykum, family. Happy Savior's Day. Alaykum. Can you hear me?
Happy Savior's Day.
Yes, sir.
We can hear you loud and clear. Right ahead, my dear.
Yes, sir. Brother Jamil, it's good to hear your voice. This is Brother Darrell, originally from Detroit, but I'm here in Pensacola, Florida, ready to go back to the Big D and come
yes,
to
sir.
Where Dr. Ridgely is to get some land and get out of Florida, brother.
Yes, sir.
My question to Brother Dr. Ridgely, may Allah continue to bless you, brother. I hear the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in you, Minister Farrakhan, and our Savior, and you have been well studied, and you are teaching tonight, beloved. I can't wait to see you again. Inshallah, we all get together on Savior's Day. Sister, give you both my numbers. I'd like to speak with you, but what you touched on, Brother Ridgely, it took me back to the some of the day the earth stood still that I'm Elijah Mama had us to look at when it was a little boy. And then it went and progressed to independence. And you notice in the movie, you touched on the wheels about the balloon. Remember in the movie they show where they destroyed the wheel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's showing you right there, they trying to make you power over Allah. to bring a movie out, because they did take our studies from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad when they raided our mosque and when he went to prison and did time for something that he had no business going because he was beyond the age of a militant. So they studied all of this information so they know about their will, and it brought something to my attention when you said about the balloons. I said, it don't sound right, you know. Remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I mean, Minister Farrakhan said he sent a sample to them as an ace to give them, to let them know that this is a sample of the will, and letting them know they could not even figure out how to even get into it, even in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. So I am so happy to hear the wisdom and knowledge. And that's why when Savior's Day come, I don't never want to leave, because we got to separate. I want to be around family, the true believers, that we could be able to be at peace and get our Joshua generation and get away from these beasts. You know, we got to separate. So I thank Allah for you, Brother Jamil, and our beloved sister, Dr. Ridgely, and all of those that are keeping Sister Ava, her legacy going. And I thank Brother Darius and his family. Long live the spirit of our beloved sister, Dr. Ava. May Allah continue to bless you. Looking forward to hear from you and see you, Brother Ridgely, and our brother Jamil. If you can, get the number from my sister. We'll touch base. I'll be there for five days and going down early with the laborers and be down there I can get a chance to enjoy the whole 5 days that I'm there. May Allah continue to bless you, and long live the spirit of our beloved sister Ava. As-salamu alaykum.
Indeed, well, my brother.
Well, alaykum salam.
I think I heard him say, Brother Risley, the first cup of coffee is going to be on him. I think I heard him say that before.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Here's some bean soup, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Brother. Stay on the line with us, Brother Darrell. Stay, even after you come out of your mic, stay with us on the program. There's a lot more to come with Dr. Risley. I want to just remind you of a couple of other references from just to bear witness. Brother Dr. Risby said getting the receipts means getting morsels of information to bear witness to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and shore up the believers. Is that right, Dr. Risby?
That's right. We want to shore you up, because let me tell you, come to the mosque or the temple for the first time and you hear these words, And you jump up when they ask, do you believe in what you heard to be the truth? And you say, yes. And they say, do you want to help us to spread this truth? Do you want to join up with us? And they say, yes. But they're so fired up that when they go home, they want to talk to their mother. They want to talk to their father. They want to talk to their brother, their sister. They want to talk to their girlfriend. They want to talk to the boys on the street. They want to tell them what they just heard. But because they just heard it and did not have a chance to study it, then they cannot, somebody hits them with a blow to the chest, a blow to the head, and they can't respond properly. Then they hit them again with a jab. And after a while, they falter. They get weak. And this is why this whole thing about this COVID-19, look at the science of what they did. They made everybody jab at you to take the jab. So for your parents, from the movie stars, the football stars, all the networks, everywhere you turn, the president, get the jab, get the jab. You don't get the jab, you're a traitor. You're going to get the jab, you may be killing your grandma. So they use peer pressure to pressure you to do what they want. So now you've heard this teaching for the first time, and you go out into the world, and they beat up on you. You got to come back and get more of the understanding and then do your research, do your study. Say, of the minister, the messenger says, you can defend it with something that they know of. So we go to their scientists, their DNA scientists, to prove that the 6,600 years is what was when they were started. So now you say, oh, wow, I didn't know. Well, we told you that, but you didn't believe us. So we go get the cracker to back us up in what we said about him. Now, for instance, you brought up something, Brother Darrell. You're so important about the wheel. Now, do you know in 1942, there was the Battle of Los Angeles going into the early mornings of February 25th, 1942. Now, the ADL infiltrated Temple Number 2 in 1942 looking for info on Master Farrakhan Muhammad. Now, you see, the ADL Anti-Defamation League has been tracking us down ever since Master Farah Muhammad showed up. And they're trying to find out what we believe, what we know. Well, they know we talk about the wheel, but there was no proof of it until the night of February 24th, 1942. Said, look, we got to go find this Master Farah Muhammad. And this is real. So then they picked up, the FBI picked up Elijah Muhammad on May 8th, 1942. I know you've seen the picture of Honorable Elijah Muhammad in handcuffs walking with this FBI agent. And you go, what did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad do? He did nothing. But he was picked up because the wheel showed up in February of 1942. They knew Elijah Muhammad had been talking about it, so they picked him up. Then the FBI raided Temple Number 1 in Detroit on May 16th, 1942, and confiscated pictures of Master Farah Muhammad. Then the FBI raided Elijah Muhammad's Chicago home and arrested 82 Muslims at Temple Number 2 on September Farah Muhammad and drawing of the mother wheel. So they they know that the Master Farah Muhammad is real. And now they've seen it, the wheel. They couldn't knock it down. They shot this thing all night long.
Right.
They couldn't put a dent in it. And so they know it's real now. And so they put the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in jail and questioned him. Because Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, look, I don't know where he at. He left me, and I've never seen him since. He told them the truth. But where is he at? I don't know. He is what he is.
That's right.
The enemy knows. And what they've done since then. Since 1942, they have begun now to go fight in the underworld. They know they can't beat the wheel. So they decide to fight in the underworld. If I mean underworld, I mean underneath your skin. So they're studying how to poison you from within. And the biggest trick is to knock on the door so you will let them in with their needle. Because on the outer pylon, they use the needle in transforming black into white. They use the needle to stick in the head of the baby to kill the newborn black baby and save the brown ones alive. So now they're using this needle again, with your permission, to stick some DNA altering material in your body to transform you from a human to something and made in their image, which is weak and wicked. So they've been studying how to poison from within. And now they came down with COVID-19 as the excuse to kill a whole lot of people in the rest homes. Now the FDA is saying that if you treat COVID like the flu, if you treat it properly, in 7 days, you'll be free. You won't even have to go to the hospital. Now, wait a minute. When COVID first came out, there are many doctors who said, treat it just like a bad cold or the flu. Use the same therapy. HCQ, ivermectin, and other therapies you can use to get you through that 7 to 8 days, and then you'll be okay. But no, the doctors, listen very carefully, the doctors in America were instructed, positive for COVID-19, do not treat them. Do not treat them.
It says do
wait
not
until
treat them?
They come to the hospital, and we will treat them. But the doctors shall not treat them. And they can only, when they get to the hospital, they'll give them remdesivir and other drugs that are very expensive and caustic, but it's already too late, and the people die. Then we found out, we did it in the article, with the tale of two drugs, ivermectin and midazolam. Midazolam was increased production rest homes in America, particularly in New York State, and the rest homes in England, where they piled all the old people there, let them get COVID, then shoot them up with the drug that puts you to sleep, euthanizes you, and call that COVID-19, so that they have the increased death to scare the people to hell, scare the people to death, so when they come out with the kill shot, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan warned the world against on July 4th, 2020, don't take these shots, even though they had not come out yet for 6 months. Scare the world into taking it. So this is who we're dealing with. Now they're telling you, well, if you treat COVID-19, like the flu, then you can get over it in 7 days. Well, you knew that from the very beginning. So don't be trying to backtrack now. This ain't no damn moonwalk. You are not Michael Jackson. You don't look smooth with this crap you're trying to pull off on us. No, you killed people. You lied to us. You scared us to death. You made us divorce ourselves from each other's presence. You made us put masks over our face. You made us sit 6 feet apart. You made enemies of each other. And now you're admitting all along what doctors are trying to tell you from the beginning, that all you have to do is treat this like the flu or like I did myself and get over it. But you said, no, don't treat it. Let it go to the point that you turn blue. Then come to the hospital where it can kill you. I know this sounds cold. But do your research. This is what you've been dealing with for the last 3 years. And now that should tell you you need to separate. Because not only are they killing you, they're killing their own to get to you. And they don't mind killing their own. And many of their own don't mind dying. As long as they're dying, because they don't like it here no way. You got to understand. White folks don't like it here no way. They don't like the sun. They don't like God. They don't like truth. They don't like living a moral life. Freedom to them means they can do anything they want to when they want to do it. You know, if they want to take a dog and try to have a baby with a dog, they got a right to do that. Okay? That's the way they think. But these are the people who would rather die and go to hell and carry you with them than live in a world of righteousness with you in charge. Because remember, they were made to rule over us, and they cannot accept their once slave is now ruling over them, which will happen eventually because our population, as Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has told us in the time what must be done, that our population is growing, but their population is going downhill. Eventually, we will be the majority in this country, and then we can vote ourselves into power, and these white folks is not going to live in that type of situation, so they would rather die and kill us too than live underneath a righteous leadership. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No need to apologize once again. You are listening to Dr. Ridgely Mukmin Muhammad, our brother, my friend, and one of the key members of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's research team and the director of the Muhammad Farms System headquartered in Brownwood, Georgia. We have callers stacked upon top of callers. One of our producers bringing our next caller, my dear brother, from Memphis, Tennessee, Brother Hoyle Muhammad. Brother Hoyle, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum, two hard hitters. All right. Praise be to Allah. The one and only doctor and the one and only Brother Jamil, Minister Jamil, and Minister Ridgely Muhammad. Both of you are powerful brothers. I want a camelback, not piggyback. We don't want to use that word piggyback. So, don't know how residue on me, brother. You said something powerful about the wheel, and I was Brother Ilya Rashad. I got his book, and I wanted to talk about these angels. And Dr. Ridgely, you hit a nail on the head with Darrell talked about. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that Master Farah Muhammad lent him two wheels in Roswell, you know, to get some technology. And they lie about, you know, about the so-called balloons. Now, this is from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said, the well-trained crew of the mothership wheel can dodge the enemy and make the enemy look for the wheel. Where the wheel is not, as the word goes, the crew of the wheel can elude the enemy anywhere in the sky that this crew desires to elude them. When actual fighting has been declared against the armies of the planet Earth, the enemy will never get near enough to do any harm to the wheel. Actually, the wheel, the mothership, serves as a carrier for 1,500 deadly prepared planes with which visit mankind on planet Earth. And also to talk about the brothers on the wheel. Tune in, the scientists who operate from the wheels have the technology of manipulating materials from afar, much like what is described as telekinesis. This technology is particularly what will be used to destabilize the military weaponry of America and other world powers, as the Messenger of Muhammad stated. He gave chilling accounts of the wheels, capabilities that attest to the power that guides them. They have the ability to stop the technology of the world's military powers from a distance. He stated that the wheels would make it so that the airplanes and jets would not even be able to leave the ground in these words, you won't have no planes up there. No, they won't fly up with your jets. They are going to get rid of your jets on the ground first. And that was powerful what you said, Dr. Ridgely. You know, they tune in on your thinking. I've seen one in a video run up to a missile, stand up to the, you know, go right next to the missile, shoot the missile, just went right next to it, shoot at it, and disabled it, and just went on about his business. You know, so they're, you know, in the last days, they're going to try to trick our people. I had, I told Mr. Mukherjee here, a while back, I talked to a fireman, a black policeman, and he said that the actual fire departments have protocol on when this happens to trick out people, to tell them that it's some kind of alien or balloon. You know, they already have protocols in place because they know the wheels will be seen. So they're going to tell them to trick out people away from, because the minute they run to them, don't run away from them. And it's another brother named Arvent, and he said that they're able to, you know, he runs into them all the time. And it's a brother, he does interviews with the wheel. He works on the security team in Michigan. And he talks about this a lot too. But, brother, this is powerful. Dr. Ridgely, what's your take? I'm going to ask you on this situation with this train situation. You know, they say the train wreck, chemical bomb is much far worse than we thought. You know, they're talking about, you know, they had a movie called White Noise a few months ago before that talked about Palestine, Ohio. And then they had another fire, brothers, in Florida today, a chemical fire that had a toxic plume. And they say that this toxic gas and poison will go down to the river and meet almost to Alabama almost. But some saying it's a way that they'll get back with, you know, the railroad with them striking. I see it as a depopulation situation, you know, to kill all the farmland. So what's your take on that, Dr. Richard? Good job, brothers. I'm going to let you all talk.
Okay, let's go back to the wheel, and then we'll come back down here to their self-destruction of the infrastructure.
Yes, sir.
All right? Let's go back up to the wheel. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us that when Master Rock Muhammad came, he came with the wheel in 1930, mm-hmm. and that he could destroy America in 12 hours. So,
yes, sir.
Negroes ask us, well, if the wheel can do all that, why don't he just do it? Well,
mm-hmm.
if he just do it, where will you be? Hugging on the thigh mm-hmm. of your enemy?
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
That's the point of separation. You away so he can get a clean shot. And when he gets the clean shot, listen very carefully. It would not be an aggressive, offensive move.
Go ahead.
It would be a defensive move to protect his children who have come to him for safety. So
yes,
when
sir.
We leave, when we separate from them and go to build our own Wall Street, our own Wakanda, our own great
right.
nation again, this time we have backup, not like the brothers
right.
in Tulsa who did not have no backup for them planes. We got
mm-hmm.
backup, but the backup ain't going to come until you need it, until you are
mm-hmm.
backed up that you need him, and then he will come. Otherwise, he would be messing with somebody else's property because we're walking around in their names on their jobs. For him, though, I'm Philadelphia. No, I'm Pittsburgh. Oh,
mm-hmm.
hang on, please. So
mm-hmm.
until we make the move to him, why should he make the move to kill them for us? Because we are so full of them, we will make them all over again.
That's right.
But when we finish this time, we will say, all praise is due to Allah, the King of Master Farah Muhammad. I have divorced myself from the brown germ in myself, and I'm going towards the black nation so I can just be black and not brown inside. So I have divorced the brown germ in myself. I do not want to be associated with the things that were made from my brown germ. So I want to build a heaven on earth that will never deviate from Allah. So now the enemy, of course, he's not going to be able to stand that. He cannot stand for us to be free. And we know they're the devil because when we need to separate, the first thing a Negro will say, well, you know, if we do that, they ain't going to do but bomb us. Well, hell, if you know that they ain't going to do but bomb us because all they want to do is to be separate from them, then they must be the devil. So you bear witness
that
they is the devil. And you scared as hell of them.
Right. Go ahead.
But you will not lead to set up your own because you know they're the devil. Well, if you're so scared of them that you won't lead them, then you need to die with the devil. That's why he ain't showing up with the plane, because you're hugging up on the devil's leg. But some of us, a few of us, are going to leave the devil alone. And we're going to set up our own economic, our own health, our own political, our own farming, our own processing, our own stores. We're going to set up our own institutions to take care of ourselves the way we had done it in segregation in many instances. And this time we're going to just can do it, and we say, okay, we're not going to attack you, but if you attack us, like Mr. Farrakhan said, you might get me, but you will be gone in 12 hours.
That's right.
I'm going to be a part of that number that can say, yeah, okay, you can kill me, okay, but I know that you will be gone shortly thereafter. Oh, praise you to Allah.
All praise to Allah. This is the Elevate Spaces program on Blog Talk Radio, created, originated, and spiritually empowered by our sister, a star of Allah.
That's
Dr.
right.
Dr. Ava Muhammad, our precious ancestor. And she started this program, and we are doing our level best to keep the doors and portals of information, inspiration, and education fully open so you can gain more information and understanding. Brother Hoyle and Dr. Risley, while I have you here, brothers, I want to ask this question to you, Dr. Risley, and open the door for you, Brother Hoyle, if you care to add an adjunct to this. But historically speaking, what is the strength of the black man and woman in America's case for separation as compared to the case of the 13 colonies for separation from England in 1770s? Do we have to strengthen our position to have the same right to create our own nation as they did, or do we still have a compelling case for independent nation of our own? Tell me the answer to that.
Okay.
Brother.
Okay. Let me go to what the Muslims believe, point number 9.
Yes, sir.
I said, we believe that the offer of integration is hypocritical and is made by those who are trying to deceive the black peoples into believing that their 400-year-old open enemies of freedom, justice, and equality are all of a sudden their friends. Furthermore, we believe that such deception is intended to prevent black people from realizing that the time in history has arrived for the separation from the whites of this nation. If, here's the important paragraph, if the white people are truthful, called Negro, they can prove it by dividing up America with their slaves. We do not believe that America will ever be able to furnish enough jobs for her own millions of unemployed, in addition to jobs for the 20 million black people as well. So let me go back up, just read it one more time. If the white people are truthful about their professed friendship toward the so-called Negro, they can prove it by dividing up America with their slaves. Now, that's something that's been put out on the Internet just recently, a letter to my former slave master, a letter to my former slave master. And this brother, right, 1864, he was freed by the Union soldiers. 1865, he's up in Ohio, living an independent life with a job, making some money, take care of his family, send him to school. The ex-slave master writes him a letter saying, please come back to work. I need your help. I'll pay you. I'll pay you well. And so the brother said, well, right now, I'm being paid, you know, $25 a month. You know, back then, that was a lot of money, especially when you had nothing, but, you know, not a lot of money today. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I worked for you for 32 years. You pay me my back salary for $25 a month for my back salary. Then I would consider coming working for you, because then I can trust you as a man of your word. Now, see, now, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Pay me.
Can I add something in there?
Go ahead,
Boyle.
Go ahead, Brother Dr. Ridley. Finish up. I was going to Go ahead.
No, I'm just, that's it. He said, listen, if you pay me for what you owe me, then I will consider working for you for a decent wage, because then I can trust you and trust you not to mess with my daughter. All right? Otherwise, I ain't coming that way.
Right. This is from How White Folks Got So Rich, and this will answer the T, Brother Jamil. It says, as Minister Louis Farrakhan has established beyond a shadow of a doubt, whites have absolutely no intention of ever returning their ill-gotten gains to their victims or even admitting they have committed any evil at all. Indeed, these are intrinsic, unintolerable program behaviors that have brought them boundless wealth, but now threaten them with total ruin. Blacks have always been indefinitely creative, innovative, talented people, a spiritual people with a keen sense of justice and a God-given ability to create a new genre of fields of endeavor. We can certainly then take a principled steps to separate from the white ruination and establish our own just world, a heaven for ourselves, for the humanity here on earth. Let us resist any further investment in a failed society, a nation in decline, and pool our resources to establish our own civilization or nation based on freedom, justice, and equality. It will indeed be hard work to separate from a people whose perception of justice is exactly opposite of that of the Almighty God. But in reality, we have no other choice. As I get to say, drop the mic.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And that's from
White
Folks Got So Rich.
Got so rich. Yes, sir. That's how white folks got so rich. When you asked that question, brother, I just saw it. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's how they got so rich and how they stay so rich. And I'm going to show you another trick that they brought up, because, Brother Hall, you mentioned the word false flag, and Brother Jamil gave the definition. Now I want y'all to listen. I have a diagram before me. You don't have this diagram. It was a part of my lecture. If you go to rumble.com and put in Ridgely, in the search, and you'll see the latest lecture, which is separation, the best and only solution. I'm going to show you the biggest bank heist that's ever been done. Forget Ocean's 11. All right? Forget all these movies they put out about somebody robbing, taking billions of dollars of silver and gold, of cash, treasury. Forget that. Let me give you the biggest one. Okay. Now, you've been told that the NAACP was set up by W.E.B. Du Bois in 1909-1910.
That's part
of the Niagara Movement, Monroe Trotter. Well, in fact, Webb Dubois, W.E.B. Du Bois, was the only one that was from the Niagara Movement that went with the NAACP that was set up by 300 white people, many of them Jewish bankers, in New York City. Jacob Schiff, and Wise and Marshall. These are three names to remember. They sit on the board of the NAACP. These same three were part of the group going down to Jekyll Island, Georgia, from 1908 to 1910, developing the Federal Reserve System. Okay. Now, here go the game. In 1913, a young Jewish man who was the head of the B'nai B'rith in Atlanta, Georgia, and ran a pencil factory, raped a young white girl and killed her. He blamed it on a black man. But the black man was so eloquent in his testimony, it drilled him for a whole day, but he was so eloquent in his defense and testimony that the all-white jury had to say that the black man was right and Leo Frank killed that girl. Now, Jacob Schiff, Wise, and over the white judge and the white jurors accepting the testimony of a nigger over a white man, that they call that anti-Semitism. Now, wait a minute. You were sitting on the board of NAACP talking about non-economic liberalism, where you was trying to say it was okay for blacks to fraternize with whites, but not with the banks. Because you knew a brother, you knew a brother personally by the name of William Monroe Trotter, who had an undergraduate degree in international banking. He received from Harvard in 1896, magna cum laude. I'm sorry, 1895. 1896, he received a master's degree from Harvard in finance. He applied to you, Mr. Trotter, to help him finance his newspaper that he was going to set up. You refused him, Mr. Schiff. You didn't even offer him a job, Mr. Schiff. You're one of the biggest bankers in the world, Mr. Schiff. And here you got a man who has an undergraduate degree in international banking from Harvard, magna cum laude. And he has a master's degree in finance from Harvard, 1896. You won't give him a job, and you won't even help him finance the development of his paper, but you took W.E.B. Du Bois, you set up the Chrysler magazine, and let Du Bois be the editor, but Du Bois was not the president of NAACP at no time, and neither was he on the board. But you put the ship. You now are going to complain that the whites in the South practice anti-Semitism. Listen to a nigga. And then when he was put in jail, somebody broke him out of jail, and they hung him. And then that's what you used to develop the Anti-Defamation League. Mr. Schiff, Mr. Wyatt, and Mr. Marshall. You used that incident of his lynching as Jews are lynched too. That was the only Jew there was ever that we know of that was lynched. All right? But that's what you call false flag. Because what did they use that for? They used that to handcuff plenty about what about get ready to happen to them. Now, ADL was set up in 1913. In December of 1913 is when Mr. Schiff, Mr. Wise, and Mr. Marshall went with their Federal Reserve plan to Woodrow Wilson. And they got it passed through Congress and got Woodrow Wilson to sign it in December of 1913, which established the Federal Reserve system. Now, because it's called Federal Reserve System, you think that it's owned by the government. If you pull out your currency right now,
yes, sir,
it will say a Federal Reserve note.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is a note? You may have a card note. What does it mean? You got to pay the bank. You may have a house note. What does it mean? You got to pay the bank. Well, you have a note from the Federal Reserve. It's a note, Federal Reserve note. That means you got to pay the Federal Reserve. What do you have to pay the Federal Reserve? Well, here's the game. The Federal Reserve prints the money now. It used to be the Treasury Department.
Yes,
sir. The notes that the Treasury Department printed, matter of fact, some of the citizens was a black man who was the 10 of 1913, Mr. J.C. Napier. Anyway, the Treasury note is a promise to pay, payable to the bearer on demand, one silver dollar, a silver dollar for a dollar, okay? But now they come in with the Federal Reserve. You got a Federal Reserve note that now you owe the Federal Reserve. And what did the Federal Reserve do? It's 12 banks that loaned America the money at interest. And over in 19, Federal Reserve set up in 1913, the U.S. debt was $2,916 million. That's 1913. By 2016, the debt was $19,391,704,000,000. $6,686 times more than it was in 1913. 6,686 times, and that's owned to these 12 banks. And how do they get the money? They get the money because the same year when they set up the Federal Reserve, what did they also set up? They set up the International Internal Revenue Service. The Internal Revenue Service IRS was set up in 1913 to collect taxes from you to pay debt to the Federal Reserve System. And the ADL controls the censorship of any conversation about the Jews, including anything that might be in any kind of print work or in the movies or whatever. And then just for those people who don't want to pay their taxes, they invented, set up the FBI to track down tax evasion, a money machine, where they print the money, then loan the money back to the government, and now you got to pay the government to pay them the interest on the debt, which is never being paid off. It's just increasing. And so, well, now the debt is owned by many people all over the world, including the Chinese. And now America, you are poor. You don't have no gold no more. As a matter of fact,
right.
I did my research and found out that in 1941, America had in Fort Knox, but now in 2017, America only had, 2022, America only has, can account for 8,133 tons. Where did 12,167 tons of gold go? Tons. We ain't talking about ounces. We ain't talking about pounds. We ain't talking about tons. Where is that gold? You have been ripped. And as a matter of fact, the reason that they had 20,300 tons of gold in Fort Knox is because in 1933, FDR Roosevelt signed a bill that made it illegal for you to hold your own personal gold. So all gold of the citizens of the United States had to be turned over to the Federal Reserve. And that's supposedly what they used to back the Federal Reserve note. But guess what? Ain't no damn gold no more. So it's nothing but paper. And soon they're going to eliminate
brother
paper.
Brother Doctor,
sir.
I want to bear witness to you, brother. The United States at this point is outranked in terms of gold reserves among the nations of the earth by the following nations. Right above the United States, Singapore. Then moving up, Brazil. Then also have more than the United States, South Korea. Above them, Hong Kong, Special Administrative Zone, Hong Kong. Above them, Saudi Arabia. Above them, the Russian Federation. And then the top five, India at number five, Taiwan at number four, Switzerland at number three, Japan at number two, and the number one country on earth in terms of gold reserves with 3 million tons of gold, China.
Okay, America.
Oh, crazy,
third world.
Thank
now. You're third world now, baby. So why would you want to integrate to a busted out nation that owes debt to everybody and especially China? Why would you want to be a part of a nation who done sold its birthright, done sold its gold, that in fact is controlled by others? See, the only reason that white people can feel good is that they got you holding on to them to make them feel important. But as soon as you let
them
go, and they have to deal with the fact that they lost everything, they're going to blow their whole damn head off. You're the only thing that's keeping them up. We ain't got to fire a shot. All
that's
we got to do is pull away and let them drop to realize where they are in the world today, that now you are a third world country, white boy.
Go ahead.
I'm going to get away from you because you are a loser. You lost it all, and nobody fired a shot. You supposedly won two world wars, and you got nothing.
Zero. Again, brothers
Zero.
And sisters, tonight, and we are joined by our very special presenter, and we're doing some things, Dr. Ridgely Mukmin Muhammad, as our guest tonight. Of course, you know we don't have a traditional format. We're not trying to get him to speak in sound bites and clips and one-sentence blurbs. No, we're allowing Dr. Ridgely to expound on the thoughts that Allah is blessing him with, because these are the thoughts that can help us to determine our position on the question of the evening, separation. Is it the only solution? separation from white America, separation into a nation of our own, separation onto some of this earth that we can call our own. You see, this is the question in front of us tonight, because as we pointed out, and Dr. Ridgely has illuminated this issue for us a number of times tonight, what we're looking at is a world changing. The position of the white man as the uncontested ruler of all he surveys is changing. Black people's condition is changing, not always for the better, but certainly it should be to wake us up. Our dear brother, the great separator, we call him, Louis Ali from the South, he comments and says in the internet, he says, integration has failed because integration is a sin. He says we must repent and atone to Mr. Muhammad. We must pool our resources together and make our own communities a safe and decent place to live. Any commentary on that interjection from Brother Louis Ali?
All I can say is, hear, hear. Me too. That's right. Go ahead.
Me too.
Let's make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Me too. That's right.
Yes, sir. We thank you, Brother Louis, for interjecting from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Our next participant from Durham, North Carolina, by way of Atlanta, Georgia. This is Brother Mark A. Muhammad. His simple comment. He says, the best and only solution, echoing the language of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad from the Muslim program, point number five, in what the Muslims want. So, Dr. Ridgely, you seem to be reaching all around the country and around the world tonight, dear brother, as we begin in this last quarter of an hour to start sewing things up and bringing things to a conclusion. I'm compelled to ask you tonight, sir, what is it that you think we can do to back the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the occasion of Savior's Day 2023? When we'll be discussing that the War of Armageddon has begun, and when Minister Farrakhan's subject on Sunday from the Wind Trust Arena in Chicago will be that, and furthermore, the additional understanding that tonight and every other day that gets closer and closer to the hour, we're getting more and more proof that the Supreme Being is Master Fard Muhammad. How can we help sound the alarm, Brother Dr. Ridgely? What are you encouraging those who already believe those things to do?
Number one, it's going back to, it was talking about these train derailments. You see,
yes,
when
sir.
The colonizers, when they finally had to give up Africa, what they did was destroy the infrastructure that they had built, so the Africans couldn't use it. So they know that America is destined to fall, and they want it to fall on top of us, and we not have nothing left. So they are destroying their own country, and they're going to blame it on others. It's like they destroyed the pipeline up there in Russia, going to Germany, the gas pipeline. Well, now the balloon in China, and they are warring with each other in make-believe. It's a real war, but it's make-believe. It's a real war, but it's make-believe. The war is the government using their military to fight each other, to destroy each other, and destroy the people in the middle. So the people will look towards America for protection against the Chinese, and the Chinese will look to America as protection. The Chinese leadership as protection against America, and in fact, the Chinese leadership and the American leadership and the Russian leadership and the leadership of the country, of the world, are destroying the people while hiding the fact that they are destroying their own people. They let others destroy the people, open the people up to be destroyed, and then blame the other, then shoot a bomb over to them. All of this is to instigate and continue the war of Armageddon against the people. But when minister of the truth, what we have to do is listen very carefully to what he says. It's okay to stand up and applaud when he says something to hit you. Because if I said otherwise, y'all call me a hypocrite. Y'all know me. I'd be bearing witness. Farrakhan hit something, I'm going to get up and do a holy dance. But anyhow, after you do your holy dance, all right, think about what he said. And then now on Monday, you start putting in things in line, in practice, so that you can do a part of what he asked you to do. He says when he speaks, he speaks to each one of us individually. He said, "In what I say is something for each of you." So when you hear that part, that where he's talking about you, then you got to do something to fulfill his word, make his word bond. You heard what he said. You know what he meant. Now you go out and you do something to help him in the mission in line of what you heard him say to you.
You heard it right here, Dr. Risley Muhammad.
Yes,
see, this is the powerhouse right here. This is something that when you, it's like a wild black stallion riding. Sometimes you hate to put a bit in his mouth or put a rein on him because you hate to pull him to a stop. It's so beautiful to watch him run. But Dr. Risley, tonight, we've got one more commentator that I think falls right in line with your commentary tonight. It is our sister, the production wizard of the Elevated Places herself, speaking to us from Memphis, Tennessee. I want to bring her in line. She'll have the last word before our guest gives his concluding comments, and we tell you how to stay in touch with MinisterAva.com and other vital information you got to have. Let's bring Sister Donna Muhammad to the microphone. Sister Donna.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
This has certainly been an educational program tonight, first of all. And I really appreciate it when you dealt with the question. This is not my comment, but this is what stood out to me, one of the things you dealt with in dealing with how did he make an interpretation if he couldn't speak the language. So that was profound that you brought that. I had never thought of that. Thank you for that. And I'm going to study more of the information that you presented regarding that. My comment is very brief. It's really more of just an observation that I had today. While doing some research, I was making a flyer for something. And I was looking up the word. I was doing it in the program Canva, which many people use for making their flyers. And so I typed in slavery. Lo and behold, out of all those hundreds of photographs is on there, because this speaks to the whitewashing of everything. And for me, I was just too outdone. Almost every representation I saw was literally white hands, white people in chains and ropes and slavery. And I was like, well, this is just it. So when you combine that with wiping out our history out of the school system, and then you go into this popular program that a lot of people use, especially millennials, and you look up slavery and this is what you get. So that's a complete total whitewashing. And that just really struck me today. And it doesn't matter what it is that we do. We can march, we can protest, we can do everything else. But as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, separation is the best and only solution, because anything that is done can only go so far. Any laws, any judges, but you cannot regulate necessarily a people's mindset with the passing of a law. I know there was the push for the George, you know, I covered the Tyre Nichols funeral, and I know there's the push for the George Floyd policing bill. And I'm not saying don't push for it. I'm not opposed for it, but that doesn't change the heart and mind and thinking of a people. And that's not going to change. And they have proven this time and time again. So, yes,
right.
Separation is the best and only solution. So thank you for this moment. Thank you again for being a guest on Elevated Places, presenting the highly researched information that you gave us tonight, as usual. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And I am so glad to inspire people to research and then to see what they're looking at and understand what they're looking at and not just, you know, hear it and repeat it, but don't ask the question. You know, What are you looking at? What does this mean? I'm going to give you one last example. In many of this, when they hung our people on trees and they took photographs and put them in the newspapers, you would see these white people, and they didn't have a hood on. They were proud to be in the picture as they was hanging one of us. But yet at night, they put on a hood, and they rode through our neighborhoods in the middle of the night and terrorized us underneath a hood. What y'all didn't know is that in the Civil War, there were 3,000 Jews who were soldiers for the Confederacy. The Secretary of State for the Confederacy was Judah P. Benjamin, a Jew. And when the Confederacy lost, those Confederate Jewish soldiers went to Judah P. Benjamin to finance the KKK. He financed them. They wear the hood because they don't want to be known or seen when they're going through our community to terrorize us. And not only did they wear a hood, but they also hooded and covered their horses. Now, for most people, that would not mean too much. But for me, who knows that doing Reconstruction and during the early days of Reconstruction, and then after 1877, when they came, when they left the troops, they left, and then they could terrorize us. Black folks, white folks would not allow us to go to the hospital. We were completely separate. They put us in the woods. They hoped that we would die. But it was the Jews who would come as traitors again, as traitors amongst us and our little communities and trade with us. But guess what? They would come in with their horse and buggy. So in the middle of the night, they'll cover their head and they'll cover their horse, because if we saw that horse, we would know who was riding on that horse, and we would know there was Jews who was terrorizing us and to take our property, because they know we had property, where the other classes didn't even know what we had, but the Jews knew it, and they came to terrorize us and got the white folks to lynch us so they could take our property. And then white folks thought they was doing good for their people, but instead they was being used by the Jews. So I leave you, as I came to you, to bring the peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. That's why we bring this brother to these microphones, because today we need spokespersons who are unafraid. We need those to stand up and unabashedly defend the only thing that has ever defended us effectively in these hells of North America. So let me give you something you need from the elevated places. Make sure your pencils and pads are in hand. I'm not going to say it but once, but you need to get more books and tapes and recordings, master classes, and continued studies with our beloved sister, Dr. Abra Muhammad. The materials are here. Just go to www.ministerava.com. Like we said earlier, www.ministerava.com, to get all the materials that you need from Dr. Abra in her studies. Tonight's guest has been Dr. Ridgely Mukhmin Muhammad. You can go to rumble.com and look, and then put in Ridgely, as R-I-D-G-E-L-Y, Muhammad, and you will be able to get the information that you need from our brother in terms of the receipts, the proof, the facts, and the truth that back up what fiery message you heard tonight. Special thanks go out tonight to our callers, the two that made it on the air, and you know tonight, brother and sister, you understand. We thank you, Brother Darrell, Brother Hoyle. We thank all of the production staff, of course, Sister Donna at the control board there in Memphis, Tennessee. We are grateful for our national correspondent for the Final Call News, our Sister Charlene Muhammad, reporting as an intrepid reporter. They used to use that word, the intrepid reporter. That means a fearless reporter, reporting the truth and getting the news to us without hesitation or hemming or hawing. Sister Charlene Muhammad out of Los Angeles. Dr. Ridgely, man, I love you, brother. I'm tired of being Poe. It's time
come on now.
To do
come on now.
We, We got to do some things together, my dear brother. Love you. Please give Sister Ann our wonderful greetings and all of the believers who help you in the Muhammad Farm system and the staple goods program all over the country. We appreciate you very, very much. Now, you're about to hear some theme music, and inshallah, God willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be back next Thursday from Chicago, Illinois, with the
That's
kickoff
right.
of this day. 2023. Kick it up, band. This is the Elevated Places.
Where would I be without you?
Where would I be without you? Go to let it all out. Where would I be? Without you. Ooh. Without you. Of love go. Where did you find someone new? And what do I do without you? Who, babe?